Grateful for this series. We started last Sunday, Build on Blessing, and I want to step into another teaching message in this Build on Blessing series. And I've already told you I'm not going to be in a hurry. We're going to spend a few weeks in this series. It's really a deep dive into the Ten Commandments and understanding what they are and what they mean and how we are supposed to live these commandments in 2025. What does that look like? How do I orient my life around those things? Because the blessing comes when our lives are built on the right foundation. We talked about some of that last week. You can always go to YouTube and catch up. We had storms last week, and it was causing problems with our internet and our stream, and lost some of the stream both on YouTube and on Facebook. We've done our best to splice back together what we could. You can go to YouTube and catch the majority of the message, but if something doesn't make sense, let's talk about it. But we worked on that foundation just a little bit, and we gave some of the history and some of the reasoning as to why the Ten Commandments came about. There needed to be a foundation, because if the foundation is not solid, then the structure will not stand. If the foundation is not what it should be, if our theology is not right, if our spiritual belief, if the foundation is not right, if what we are building our lives on is not right, then it will not stand long term. I was reading recently about the Millennium Tower in San Francisco. I just flew into San Francisco to preach in a nearby, that was the closest airport, just a couple of hours outside of San Francisco, but I flew in and had a couple of hours just to drive around and see some of the sights and drive across the Golden Gate Bridge and all of that, seeing the beauty that is there. But they built a few years ago this Millennium Tower. It's a 58-story residential skyscraper, and it's gained significant attention because it has foundation problems. You can see the Millennium Tower on the screen. The tower was built in 2009, and it stands 645 feet tall, 58 stories above ground. But shortly after its completion, much fanfare, much celebration, highly anticipated residential tower. People want to live in this. But shortly after completion, after people began to move into this tower and spend, I just read that the penthouse of that tower sold for about $9 million. After people began to move in, the residents and ultimately, the engineers noticed that the building was sinking and causing the building to tilt. So far, the tower has sunk about 18 inches and as much as 29 inches towards the northwest direction. You see, the issue stems from the foundation design. It was constructed on a foundation of what they call concrete friction piles. The piles were driven into dense sand and not into bedrock. Seems I heard the Lord say something about building on the rock and not on the sand. But the reason they did this is the builders wanted to save money. They wanted to save money and they wanted to save time. We can build this faster if we use these concrete piles and we drive them into the dense sand. We can save time and money, but so much for saving money, because they've already spent about $100 million trying to correct the foundation problem. Folks, that's the whole series. That's the whole series. It's very costly to build on the wrong foundation. It's very costly to try to build my life on the wrong foundation. And what you're gonna see as this series unfolds is that the foundation affects every aspect of our lives. Whether it's our marriages or our families or our parenting, our business, our relationships, every single thing in our life is affected by our foundation. Everything. We're gonna touch all of these at some point in this series. But it's especially true when everything in your life starts with God. When everything in your life flows down from God. When God is at the head, when God is in first place of your life, rather than, as opposed to, I am building my life and trying to fit God in where I can. Or I've got this busy life, I've got this full life, and I'm just trying to stuff God in and just find a place for him here and there, whenever it's convenient for spirituality in my life, then I'll yield to that. That really does not work. The foundation is not solid. The foundation is not secure. And at some point, you're gonna feel yourself sinking because the foundation is not right. So remember, when it comes to these values, the Ten Commandments came to give man a moral framework. Came to give man some operating instructions. This is the code I want you to live by, because mankind needs values to live by. We need values to build on. Someone said recently in a speech, it's now politically correct to believe in family values, but it's not politically correct to get specific about them. Think about that for a moment. It's politically correct now to talk about family values, but when you begin to define those, or you begin to put boundaries on those, or you begin to give parameters to those. I mean, we can have love as a value, but don't get specific and tell me who or how to love. Well, he gave his commandments more than 3,000 years ago. He established values 3,000 years ago. And he said, I want you to live by these. And incidentally, it's fascinating to me that Jews, Muslims, Christians all agree. It's maybe the only thing we all agree on at the same time, but all three of these religions believe and accept the Ten Commandments. He said in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, never forget these commands that I am giving you today. In fact, he said, teach them to your children. Repeat them when you are at home and when you are away, when you are resting and when you are working. In every part of your life, teach these and repeat these and remember these. He says two things. He said, I want you to remember them and I want you to teach them. So why did God give us the Ten Commandments? It wasn't to hurt us. It was to help us. It's not to restrict us, but to release us. Because anytime God says don't in the Bible, anytime God says no in the Bible, it's always for a positive purpose. And if I will be obedient to that, if I will align my life to his word, it's going to bless me in the long run. We're getting to the first commandment, but it's interesting to me that the more I read psychiatrists, psychologists, they're all saying now that we need boundaries for mental and emotional health, because people need parameters. Your children need boundaries. If children grow up without boundaries, then they grow up, they mature to be extremely insecure individuals. You don't want that for your kids. I don't want that for my kids. And so we work, we establish boundaries, and we require discipline, and we live according to discipline. So you ready for the first commandment? I want to jump into the first commandment, and I can't guarantee that I'm going to go in order of all the commandments. I just want to feel my way through this. But it is of it's of note to me that out of the 10, 4 of them focus on our relationship with God, and 6 of them focus on our relationship with others. But of course, the first commandment has to be first, because it is the most important one. And so we're going to start with the first commandment, Exodus 20 and verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods, little g, no other gods before me. Of course, we know the Old Testament people, and really even in the New Testament, there were all kinds of idols and all kinds of things that they spiritualized or they made gods out of. And we'll see other commandments that deal with idolatry, and we'll deal with those, and we'll understand what that means for us in 2025. But he's saying, I right out of the gate, I want to be very clear, you cannot have any other gods before me. I feel like this language is really easy to understand. He's saying you have to put God, big G, you've got to put God first in your life. He's all or nothing right out of the gate. God says, I demand to be top priority in your life. I will not play second fiddle to anything else. And as far as I'm concerned, he deserves to be number one in my life. I hear your amens. You believe the same about your life. You know God deserves to be first place in your life. Why? Because he made us. He gave us breath. He put us on our feet today. He gave us strength today. He's the only reason that I exist. And already in the first commandment, we're at odds with the culture. We're at odds with what people say and what people think and what people believe. So what does this mean? You can have no other gods before me. What is a god? A god is anything that dominates your life, anything that controls your life. I want to be careful to fill in the blanks today, because the blank for you may not be the blank for someone else. What challenges you may not be the thing that challenges someone else. The thing that I struggle with may not be the thing that you struggle with, and vice versa. But all of us fight these little g gods in our lives. Maybe it's a career. Maybe we're just so locked in and focused on the work, we can't find time for anything else. That's what we're passionate about. That's what moves us. That's what stirs us. Maybe it's another person that you are very fixated on. Maybe that person has become this little g god in your life. And here's the thing: it's not just negative things. It's not just things that harm us or challenge us. It can be good things that God has created for us to enjoy. Those things can become gods as well if you give them first place in your life. Jesus said it this way. He said, but seek first, not just one of your options, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We're trying to flip that upside down or invert that. Hey, I want to talk about the things, the long list of things that I want in my life or the things that I need in my life. I'm running after the things. I'm trying to get all of that in order, and God is saying, no. You've got this backwards. If you will put me first, I'll make sure the other things work like they need to work. If you'll put my kingdom first, I'll make sure those other things are added to your life. But you can't reverse the order. You can't chase the things and then try to fit in the kingdom. Doesn't work that way. And I know that challenges us. It challenges us in a busy society and in a society that says you got to work, you got to hustle, you got to grind, you got to get after it, you got to wake up before daylight, and you got to get home after dark, and you got to get in the rat race and sit still in the trap. You got to do all of the things, and I get it, I understand all of it, but am I seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness? Because if my foundation is wrong, doesn't matter how pretty the structure is, it's going to fall over. You want to be successful? You got to put God first. Whatever you want to be blessed, whatever you want to be prospered, whatever you want to be favored in your life, you got to put Him first in that area. Because if we put God first in our lives, we're going to see the blessing. If we build right, we're going to see the blessing. You believe that today? I believe it. I love that every time God gives a principle, He gives a promise. Here's the promise, Proverbs 3:6. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. If we just put God first in everything we do, wait a minute, how is that possible? We're going to get real practical, and we're going to get real livable, because we're not just going to be in King James language and verbiage in this series to the these and the thous and all of that. No, we have to have this in livable, bite-sized pieces that we can understand, that we can wrap our head around. So how do I put God first? F-I-R-S-T. How do I put God first? This is an acrostic for your second week of school. You'll know this already at school, and they'll put you ahead of the class. But first, F is our finances. If I put God first in my finances. I'm not gonna get heavy into that. I'm gonna spend a moment on this. I just did a recent teaching, I think maybe the second or last Sunday of June, in our summer stretch series, a message called This Stretch Makes Sense, C-E-N-T-S. You can find it on YouTube if you want a little more in-depth teaching on this. you can get that there. But I want to touch this principle because it is absolutely a God in our lives. Money is a God in our lives. Here's what the word said, Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of your income. So right out of the gate, the principle is there. Don't let it be the last part. Don't let it be a leftover. Don't wait until everything else is out the door and then we'll see what's left. No, He said, put me first. And if you will put me first, if you'll honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income, verse 10, and He will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. If you'll put God first, He's gonna overflow your life. The wheat, the barley, the wine, all of that meant something to them in their context. What does it mean in your context? If you put God first, He's going to overflow your life. Overflow your life with good things. Overflow your life. And we see this principle throughout Scripture, because money is the biggest test to gauge our priorities. God says, if you will put me first in this area, if you will give me the first part, if you'll return that to me, I am going to bless the rest. It's just a principle. If you've ever lived it, if you've ever experienced it, I don't know, but I am more blessed with 90% than I am with 100%. I've tried it. I've tried doing it. I've thought at times, I can't afford to give. No, I got this, I got that, I got, and it doesn't work that way. And if I just keep God first place in my life, if I just allow him to do what he does best. You know what the truth is? It's the truth for all of us. We spend most of our lives, our best waking healthy years, trying to earn something that we'll never be able to take with us. We spend our best years focused on money, and then we get to the end of our lives and it doesn't matter a bit. It doesn't matter at all. Because we can't take it with us. No U-Hauls behind hearses. You've seen all the cartoons, and it just doesn't work. But those years of earning and growing and building, all of that, how we handle that, how we spend that, reveals what is really important to us. What we choose to do with that reveals where God is in our lives. Let me get out of the F. That's a tough one. F-I-R-S-T. I is interest. What are we interested in? What gets us going? What motivates us? What stirs us? See, I learned that if God is really going to be number one, You have to put him first in your interest. What is it that interests you? What do you do for fun? What does playtime look like? What are your hobbies? What are your amusements? What about your recreations? What do you do that brings a smile or creates a laugh or some good times in your life? What are your interests? Your interests, your hobbies, all of that can be aligned with God's goodness in your life. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Meaning that if I live for God 365 days a year and I get 7 of those as vacation, man, that's not my opportunity. Well, let me just unplug the spiritual part of me. I heard I can go to Jamaica on a missions trip. Let me unplug the spiritual part and just live it up. No, no, no. He said, hey, you can live for God on vacation too. Your interests can be aligned with the things of God. Guess what? You can golf to the glory of God. I can bless him on a beach. You can kayak to another level. You can sail. You can fish. My friend Steve, he's mastered this. He goes fishing and tells himself, I'm fishing so that we can have a fish fry at the church. It's genius. It's genius. Shirley, I'm going fishing. I'm going to be out there for hours. What are you doing? I'm working for the church. I'm going to fish because I'm sure. Do we have a fish fry scheduled? No, but I'm sure they'll have one here before long. Genius, genius plan. You can do all of it for the glory of God. You can pick a ball with a praise. Lord, thank you for 2 arms to play ball. Thank you for hand-eye coordination to see. You see, whatever I do, if I do it unto God with an attitude of gratitude, it puts God first in that area of my life because he wants to be first in our lives. I'm not suggesting that every time you swing the bat that you got to stop and thank the Lord for a base hit. And while you're thinking the Lord, they're going to throw you out. You got to hit the softball and run at the same time. But it's okay to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the ability to be out here, and this is exciting. And when a play doesn't go my way, I'm not going to fall out with the umpire. I'm not going to cuss out my teammate. I'm not going to get into a brawl at the pitcher's mound. No, I'm going to keep glorifying you. I'm going to keep praising you. I'm going to keep a right attitude and a right heart, because my interests say that, Lord, I have put you first in my life. Ephesians 5 and 19. He says, talk with each other much about the Lord. Talk with each other much about the Lord. That's a living Bible. Various ways that is said in different versions, but I love the rendering of that. Talk with each other much about the Lord. Why? Because if he is first in your life, then you're going to make God a part of your conversation. Somehow, in some way, it's going to come up in your life. Just everyday conversation, somehow the Lord is going to come out. There's going to be an opportunity to relate that. Let me tell you about a time God did something in my life. And before you know it, you're sharing your faith. You're witnessing about God's presence and power in your life. And you're winning souls because you're making a difference in someone's life. F-I-R, R is relationships. How can I put God first in my relationships? If you want God to be first in your life, then you're going to have to choose your friends carefully. Why? Because we become like the people we spend the most time with. This is true. This is true all day long and twice on Sunday. You will become like the people you spend the most time with. Proverbs 27 and 19, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he's really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God speaking to us. Here's the principle. If you spend time with people who take God lightly, eventually you will take God lightly. Whomever you spend time with, that is who you are going to be like. You say, but wait a minute, I thought we were called to be salt and light. I thought we were called to mix among, yes, we are called to do that. But you got to make sure that you are the one influencing and not the one being influenced. You got to make sure you're salt, because Jesus said it's possible for salt to lose its savor. You got to be the one who remains salty. Just look at somebody and tell them, I'm still salty. You got to stay salty so that you can be making the difference in other people's lives. I'm not talking about some pious, judgmental, conceited, bold faith that you are arrogant in your approach to people. No. There's humility. There's all of that. But I refuse to walk into a room and allow the vibe of that room, the energy of that room, to determine what my faith level is going to be. When I walk into the room, that energy has to change. That vibe has to change. That presence has to change. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you put God first, it has to change people around you. Let me just say this as an addendum. Parents, what kind of people are you exposing your children to? Who comes into your home? Well, it's just family. Well, I don't want to give you the statistics, and I'm not wanting you to look judgmentally at anybody, but we got to protect our babies in 2025, because this world is crazy. Getting crazier by the minute. I used to hear parents talk about, oh no, our kids don't do sleepovers, or our kids don't do this, and Chris and I, we didn't have kids yet. We're like, well, when we're parents, you know, and then we had a child. You know what? They were on to something. Know the people who are speaking into your kids' lives, their hearts. If you're really serious about building a strong foundation for your kids, invite others from this church to be in your home. Do life with people of faith. I'm not saying everybody here is perfect. We've got people in this room struggling, all of us on a journey, absolutely. But here's what I know. I'm not going to allow my kids to be raised by social media. I want godly models for my kids. Because if we don't provide godly influence, then television is going to influence them. The Kardashians are going to teach them. Do you want a Kardashian in your house? Oh, Pastor, that's rude. You know exactly what I'm saying. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. F-I-R-S-S. How do we put God first? You're going to have no other gods before me. S is schedule. Because time is another God in our lives. We need to put God first in our schedules, in our time. This has become so hard of late. The last few years, we are busier than we've ever been. We are more time challenged and more schedule crunched, and it's become so difficult to fit it all in. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what's got us so busy, but we are busier than we've ever been. We're afraid to sit down ever. We're afraid to just relax a moment. Afraid to rest. We can't. Got to pay this, and I got to hustle that, and I've got to do this extra thing, and I've got this minute over here. I've got to cram it full of something, and God is saying, hey, is there any time for me in all of that running, and in all of that chaos, and in all of that busyness, is there any time in your schedule for the spiritual? And you know what? This right here is going to be one of the toughest areas of our lives to conquer. Because I'm convinced the devil knows it. He knows it. So we're busy, busy, busy. But you know what? I need a daily appointment with God. I need to put time with God. I had a little bit of a crisis this weekend, realizing something, my schedule and family schedule, and oh, wait a minute, I didn't have that on my calendar, and now, oh no, I've got to change a flight, I've got to move something, I've got to redirect something. Why? Because the schedule was too full, too crammed. I'm missing things that are important. I cannot miss what is important. I cannot miss my time with God. You're gonna have to work out what your time with God looks like. You're gonna have to determine how you and God meet and how you and God talk. It may not look like mine, and mine may not look like yours, but we all can factor in our faith and schedule the spiritual and be a part of what God is doing. Ephesians 5:16, he said, making the best use of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Got to make best use of the time. But how do I decide what's best? How do I choose? Everything is important. Everything matters. Everything feels meaningful. You know what? I got to ask God to help me. Because you and I, we have just enough time to do God's will. Got just enough time. The world is run by busy people. You and I are busy. We're busy people trying to make it all happen, trying to get it all done. But we've each got just enough time to do God's will. That's why I'm so blessed and encouraged by people that came on Friday. There were people that took off work. Maybe they had some PTO. Maybe they had a vacation day they burned. There were others that closed their business and brought their employees. I'm going to pay my employees to come and work at the church. Why? Because schedule matters. I want to be a part of what God is doing at the church. And I don't say that to guilt anyone that wasn't able to do that or didn't have that opportunity or didn't have that time available. God had here who he needed to be here for that task. But you know what this pastor prays? This pastor says, anybody that took time off of work, whether it was vacation pay or no pay, I'm asking God to bless you so big and to pour out such grace in your life and to pour out such abundance in your life. It may happen in the next 10 days. It may happen in the next 30 days where you say, whoa, I just got a bonus. Where'd that come from? I know where it came from. It came from you pouring water in the name of Jesus. And he said, I'm not going to owe anybody a cup of water. I'm going to repay and bless and make the difference in your life. Can we just put a praise on that for a moment and say, thank you, Jesus? Because my schedule has to reflect the spiritual. If I'm going to honor the first commandment, that I'm going to have no other gods before him. And what I've learned, let me just talk about me. What I've learned is when I start feeling frustrated, when I start feeling hassled, when I start feeling frazzled, it's because I'm trying to do more than what God wants me to do. Maybe you can identify with that. When you start feeling frustrated, when you start getting irritated, man, can you believe it's that time again? I got to do this again. There's no joy. There's no fulfillment. There's no excitement about it. There's no smile on your face while you're doing it. You may be doing more than God wants you to do, and those things have become those little g gods in your life. You know, even Jesus felt the need for daily prayer. Even Jesus told the disciples, you got to leave me alone for a little while. I'm coming apart. I'm going to go over here. You stay here. Y'all are on my nerves. You got to read between the lines in the Bible. It's very clear if you read between the lines. If Jesus needed time in his schedule, do you think you and I need time in our schedule? The sad truth, I'm closing, the sad truth is that we can get too busy for God. I'm going to go a step further because I just feel it in my spirit and I got to say and be obedient to what I feel, but we can become too busy doing quote unquote godly things and miss God. We can get so busy doing spiritual things and miss God in our life. F-I-R-S-T, the last area that I can put God first is in my troubles. Yeah. And this touches all of us because we all face problems and we all feel pressure and we all have that crisis going in our lives. Who do we turn to when we have the problem, when we feel the pressure, when we're in the midst of the crisis? Who do we turn to? God is saying, I want you to turn to me first when you have a problem. I want you to run to my presence. I want you to call my name. I want you to pray to me first. Because prayer should not be our last resort. It should be our first option. We used to sing a song in the old church, when you've tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. please don't ever sing that here. Why would we try everything else before we try the Lord? Why would we exercise every other option before we exercise the option in our lives? Oh, but Pastor Darrell, I was ashamed. I knew I was in trouble because of a mistake I made. I knew I was in crisis because of a choice I made. Okay, repent. Lord, I know I created this mess, but I'm gonna need your help. And if you'll get me out of this, I'm gonna make some changes in my life, and your Spirit is gonna enable me to set some new boundaries so that I never get in this kind of trouble again. Because when I get in trouble, where am I going to turn? What am I going to do? How am I going to find the help that I need in my life? Don't turn to gods. Turn to God. Why? Because God is an ever-present help. It's a refuge in our time of need. Psalm 50 and 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. He said, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. God says, put him first, even in tough times. How will I know? How will I know if I've put God first? Here's one big indication that you've put God first. You stop worrying. If you really put that situation into the hands of the Lord, then he starts carrying it and we stop worrying about it. Worry is the warning light that God is not first in my life at this particular moment. And the reason you just felt that in this room is because this is a God for so many of us, a little g. This is a struggle for so many of us. But you know what? When God is not first in any of these five areas we've talked about, our finances, our interests, our relationships, our schedule, our trust, when God is not first in any one of those areas, then we start worrying. And we worry more and more and more. When God is not first in my finances, I worry about them. When my interests don't align with him, I get distant. And when God is not first in my relationships, I worry about them. When my schedule has no room for the spiritual, there is no true rest. And I'm back to worrying. When God is not first in my trials and in my troubles, then I spend time worrying. You ought to stop and do a priority check. Where am I? What's going on? I've got a vehicle right now that's got a warning light. The engine light is on. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the problem is. What I know is that I keep driving it, hoping for the best. It's not in my notes. I didn't know this was going to make such a good altar call, but it's true. We see the lights flashing and blinking. Hey, you need to slow down. Hey, you need to get some diagnostics on it. Hey, you better check that. But we say, it's still rolling. It's still getting me from point A to point B. But you let me end up on the side of the road out here in the pouring rain, and that AC stops working. Lord, y'all gonna hear me hollering, Jesus! What warning light is on in your life? What check engine light is on in your spirit that says, hey, this is not as hard as you think it is. You can get this assessed You can get this seen about. You can get this taken care of. This can be fixed. Lord, I want you to fix it today. I want you to be first place in my life. That first commandment you gave, Lord, it was significant. You shall have no other gods before me. Doesn't mean that some of those things are not going to exist. We exist in a world that requires money. Just make sure that I am the God of your money. We exist in a society that requires time and schedule, and we're going to have all the things that have us busy, but just make sure none of that comes before me. You're in a life filled with relationships, marriage, family, friends, co-workers. Just make sure that none of them are more important than me. Jesus, we want you to be first in our lives.